is the prerogative of God alone to prescribe the duty of men and angels. The will of God is a perfect will and must be obeyed as it is set forth in His holy law, because every requirement is just and is set forth by infinite wisdom. The law of God should be obeyed even though there were no authority to enforce it and no rewards for its obedience. The highest interests of men and angels are conserved in obeying the law of God. God's will expressed in His law is the supreme will, and no invention, no device of men can take its place. Obedience to the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God will be as abomination in the sight of God. For what God requires is essential to the highest good of His subjects, and is therefore essential for the glory of God. Signs of the Times, September 24, 1894, paragraph 4. God is good, and all the time. Let's try that again. God is good, and all the time. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for staying by for the afternoon, the final preaching session of this long day. I hope that you have been blessed to some degree by all that you have participated in from morning until now. And I hope you realize that your greatest blessing is not in the delicious food that is served, but in the food that comes from this desk and other places where people have spoken. You know, Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food," Job 23, verse 12. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them," Jeremiah 15, 16. Of course, we must value God's word above everything else, because God Himself has magnified His word above all His name. So I say one more time, God is good. And all the time, let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful, dear God, we can come to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the name of Jesus, a name you always accept. As we bow in your presence, Father, if we've sinned against you, we ask you to forgive us fully and freely. I ask you, Father, to take possession of my mind. Put your words in my mind, in my heart, in my mouth, God. I humble myself before you, Father. I really humble myself before you. How I wish, dear God, that your people will hear not me but you, and that they will see not me but the cross of Christ with Christ on it, not crucified but risen, standing by that cross. Speak to us, dear God. Speak your will into our souls. And give us a desire for spiritual things that exceeds our desire for natural things. A special blessing on our guests. Bless our life in every possible way, Father. At the end of this presentation, let us know we have heard from you, not from me. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen. A people of power. Let us go to Exodus 19. We'll read from verse 4. This is God speaking to the Israelites just before He comes down on Sinai to proclaim His Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, reading from verse 4. If you found that, say amen. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above what? All, come on, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God told the Israelites, I want you to be special to me above every other nation on the face of the earth. Now, God's desire has not changed. Listen to me carefully. The same way God wanted a special people who would be closer to Him than any other people, the same way He wanted that thousands of years ago, God wants the same thing today. Let me say differently. The same way God had a people in the past, special to Him, God has a people today just as special to Him. Let's go back and identify the condition that makes a people special to God. Exodus 19 verse 4. God tells the Israelites, He have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now why did God bring 10 plagues upon the Egyptians? For the sake of the Israelites. In order that the Egyptians might be urged and encouraged to let the Israelites go. Now, it was God's preference to just send no plagues at all if Pharaoh had listened to Moses. And that's a lesson for us. When we don't listen the first time, God has to come a second time. And the second time, He's more severe than the first. When dealing with God, learn your lesson as quickly as possible. And save yourself some suffering. Are you following me? The word suffering may not be the best, but I let it stand. When dealing with God, learn your lesson as quickly as possible. If Pharaoh had obeyed Moses when Moses said, let God's people go, there would have been no plagues at all. If he had obeyed after the first plague, there would not have been the second. Because he disobeyed, each plague was worse than the preceding one until the final and the tenth plague broke Pharaoh's back. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt, human and animal, was slain. And Pharaoh said, go. There was no need for that had he listened when Moses and Aaron spoke to him. Many of us, we suffer because we do not listen to God the first time. You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and I did it for you. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. A relationship with God must be intimate and close. That's the only kind of relationship God understands. Close. If you read John 14, 1 to 3, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's I and you. That's the way God functions. Now the Bible makes it very clear that through the Holy Ghost, Christ dwells in us. But that's not close enough. Let me say that again, a little more slowly. The Bible is very clear, particularly in John 14. Through the Spirit of God, Christ dwells in us. By the way, when Christ walked on this earth, He was with the disciples. He was not in them. Today, through the Holy Spirit's agency, Christ is in us. Which means that we are closer to Christ now than the disciples were when they walked with Him. Maybe that's a little difficult for you to assimilate and to digest. Let me say it again. Through the agency of the Spirit of God, we are closer to God now, those of us who are faithful, than the disciples were when they traveled in the boat with Christ and walked right next to Him. And so through the Spirit, Christ dwells in us. But this is not good enough for Christ. He wants to be closer, because even though through the Spirit he dwells in us, he is not with us personally. He's in heaven. When Mary and the other women came to the tomb of Christ, Matthew 28, 5 and 6, the angel said, I know that ye seek Jesus. He is not here. He's risen. The angel said, he isn't here. He's gone. While I am glad the Holy Ghost represents Christ, the Holy Ghost is not Christ. And so Jesus himself says, in the same chapter when he says, the Holy Ghost will be in you and I will come to you through the Holy Ghost. In that same chapter, he begins it by saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Which means we are not yet unto himself, even though his Spirit is in us. If that's clear, say amen. We are not yet in the personal presence of Christ. That where I am, there you may be also. Where Christ is, we're not yet there. Are you following me? Christ wants us to be so close to him that in his humanity, he reaches out and can touch us. He cannot do that now. What am I saying? Let's listen to Christ speaking to the Israelites. And by the way, it was Christ speaking to Moses. He has seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Question for you. When they were in Egypt, were they God's people? Yes, but they weren't close enough. There were God's people in Egypt, but for God, that was not good enough. I need you out of Egypt, right with me. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You need to understand, God is a God of intimate relationships. Not long-distance relationships, intimate relationships. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar, different from everybody else, treasure. What is a treasure? Something highly valued. God valued his people back then above everyone else. What's our subject? A people of power. Who's the most powerful person in the universe? God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Anyone close to God is a beneficiary of God's power. If I go through the airport with the President of the United States, I do not have to go through security. You know why? Because I'm with him. If you go through the airport with the Prime Minister of Australia, you do not have to go through security because you are covered by his authority. I will say again, anyone close to God is a beneficiary of God's limitless power. And we're talking about a people of power. You shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. And I just said, what is a treasure? Something highly valued. Listen to Desire of Ages, page 524, paragraph 1. What did I say? The Savior bless all who sought his help. He loves all the human family. But to some, he is bound by peculiarly tender associations. Listen carefully. His heart was knit by a strong bond of affection to the family at Bethany. Name the members of that family. Mary. And for one of them, his most wonderful work was wrought. The servant of the Lord tells us, Jesus Christ deliberately saved and reserved his most mighty miracle for the family closest to him. No other family was as close to Christ as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. If you read Matthew chapter 8, Jesus spent some time in the house of Peter. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, you remember that, and she rose from a fever and ministered to them. Christ was closer to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus than to Peter's family. Listen to me carefully. Well, the Bible. God is closer to some people than he is to others. You have to decide, how close is God to me? And that closeness can be measured. There's a condition, there's a standard. How close is God to me? We know from reading the Gospels that on very sensitive missions, even though Christ had 12 disciples, which three did he always take on very sensitive missions? Peter, James, and John, because they were closer to him than the other nine. How close are you to God? Let's identify the condition for closeness to God. We read again, Exodus 19, 4 and 5. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will, read with me now. Come on, read with me if you have the King James Version. Verse 5, Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you'll do what? Obey my voice indeed. Come on. And keep my covenant. What's the next word? Then. There is a process. This, then that. What's the condition for being close to God? Obedience. And I said, the person who's close to God is a beneficiary of God's divine power. A powerful man or a powerful woman or a powerful people is that man, that woman, or that people that obey God. Listen to God speaking to Joshua after the death of Moses. Tremendous promise God gave Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Let's read from verse 5, our subject, a people of power. Mr. Timekeeper, is it quarter to something? All right, what's it? 10 to, all right. So technically, I have 10 minutes left, but since you're so nice, I may have a little more than 10. Nobody said amen for you being nice. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, let's read verse 5. Do you have Joshua 1:5? Do you have my version? Read with me. What does it say? They shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Stop. Now, I want you to, as you read this statement of God to Joshua, don't see Joshua only as an individual. What God is telling Joshua applies to the Israelites if they will obey as God is telling Joshua obeyed. Let me say that differently. What God is promising Joshua is available to the Israelites if they will obey. They shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee. Finish the verse. Not forsake thee. Go to verse 7. Read with me. Only what? Be thou strong and very courageous. Come on. To observe. That thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Yes. Just obey me. Finish the verse. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Now finish the verse. That thou mayest prosper. Come on. Whithersoever thou goest. Stop. Now look at 5. Look at 7. In 5, God says, no one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. And in verse 7, God says, if you obey me, you will prosper anywhere you go. Now, Do you have to go to the United States to prosper? Can you prosper in the Solomon Islands? What's the condition? You're too slow. What's the condition? Obey me. Can you prosper in Fiji? What's the condition? Obey me. What kind of obedience? Total. What percentage? 100. Let's look at 100% obedience. Look at verse 7 again. Only what? Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do what? Thou mayest observe to do what? All. My brothers and sisters, the condition for being a powerful people, give me one word, obedience. Then if we are weak, what's our conclusion? You're too slow. What's our conclusion? We're disobedient. Early Writings, page 227, paragraph 1. What did I say? I saw. Now, when reading Eloy's writings, when you see I saw, or I was shown, sit up. I saw that if the church had always retained her peculiar holy character, the power of the Holy Spirit, which was imparted to the disciples, would still be with her. The sick would be healed. Devils would be rebuked and cast out. And here's how the verse ends. And she would be mighty and a terror to her enemies. How can a church be mighty and a terror to others? Let's find out from Joshua chapter 2, reading from verse 8. Our subject, a people of power. My brothers and sisters, we're weak, not because it's God's fault. We inflict weakness on ourselves by not obeying God. Joshua chapter 2 from verse 8, Rahab has hidden the spies in the roof of her house. Now the Jericho military have gone looking for the spies because Rahab lied to them. Now Rahab goes up to them, and before they were laid down, she went up unto them, up on the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. What did Ellen White write in early writings? She would be mighty and a terror to her enemies. In other words, Ellen White is saying, if the church would obey God, other people would say, leave that church alone. They have a God who will kill you. They have a God who defends them. Leave those people alone. Rahab said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror, from what we've heard about you, we are afraid of you, is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Do you see because of you at the end of verse 9? We'll say yes or no. Because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. What are the next few words? For you. When you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did what? Melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Finish that. Because of you. Because of you. Now, let me tell you something about Jericho. Jericho was the most heavily fortified city in that time. The walls were so powerful, God himself had to bring them down. Rahab lived on the wall. Let me say it again. Jericho was the most heavily fortified city of the ancient world. And one of the citizens of Jericho, knowing how fortified the city was, when she heard the Israelites were coming out of the wilderness, she said, "Look, I know the Lord has given you this place, and we, the citizens of the most powerful city in this part of the world, we are scared to death with all our fortifications and our thick walls. We are afraid of you because we realize you have a God who cannot be shut out by walls." We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Do you realize the things God wants to do for us if we obey? Go to Deuteronomy 28. I know it's 6 o'clock now, Brother Timekeeper. May I have 10 minutes more? Say yes. Case closed. Okay. Deuteronomy 28. Let's read from verse 1. Our subject, a people of power. Deuteronomy is book number 5. Our theme is the power of God. Do you have that verse? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I have 10 minutes left. Speak through me, Father, very directly. Help me to speak clearly and simply, I pray. Teach us, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Read the next part of that verse. 2. Observe and to do what? All his commandments, come on, which I command thee this day. How many commandments? All of them. Now finish the verse carefully. That the Lord thy God, come on, shall set thee where? On high, come on, above all nations of the earth. If Fiji will obey God, to what percentage? 100%. As small as Fiji is, God would raise Fiji above the United States. Your men didn't have much energy. You see, there's some things in the Bible almost too good to be true. There's no such thing in the Bible. If it's in there, it's good. But because we're human and our natural behavior is doubt, we say this is too good to be true. The Bible says, if you will observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Because God always has a special people closer to him than anybody else. And the identifying mark of that people, give me one word, obedience to how many of his laws? All. Go back to Joshua 1. And I'm closing. I said I'm closing and nobody objected. You must smell that food. Joshua 1, we read 5, now we'll go to 7. Well, let's go to 8. We read 5 and 7, let's go to 8. Do you have Joshua 1, 8? Read with me. This book of the law shall what? Not depart, come on, out of thy mouth. But thou shalt what? Meditate, come on, day and night. To what? To do according to all that is written therein. Now, in other words, give me one word for all of that. Obey. If you obey, here is the result now. Finish verse 8. Then shalt thou what? Make thy way prosperous, come on, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, we already know from verse 7, that your prosperity will be anywhere you go. My brothers and sisters, we are weak. Not because God does not know how to defend his people. We are weak because we are disobedient. Remember Ai, that little city? You don't remember Ai? The Israelites went to fight Ai. What happened? They lost. They were embarrassed. They were humiliated. Why? Achan, there was one act of disobedience. One. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 479, paragraph 2. Ellen White writes, God shut Moses out of Canaan to teach a lesson which should never be forgotten, that it requires exact obedience. If God tells you the seventh day is the Sabbath, that's the day you keep. Don't tell God your best business is on Saturday. That's not, God doesn't care. I said, keep the Sabbath holy. I don't care whether your business flourishes on the seventh day or not. I said, keep the Sabbath holy. When Naaman came to Elisha to be healed of leprosy, Elisha said, go dip into Jordan 7 times. If he had dipped 6.99999, he would have left that river a leper. But how do we hurt ourselves? We regard obedience as legalism. And we suffer. The Bible says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring the tithe. If you'll observe to do all these commandments which the Lord thy God command thee this day, all of them. The condition of power in God's people is, tell me the word, obedience. Whether as a people or an individual. You know why Christ was so powerful as a human being? He obeyed the Father. Everything the Father said, Jesus did. The human Jesus. Everything the Father said, Jesus did. And how do we try to soothe our consciences because we're disobedient? We say, well, Jesus had an edge in the battle with sin. Christ had no edge. The only edge he had was obedience, and that edge is available to us. And so tonight, as I reluctantly come to the close of a people of power. Our power with God is based on simple obedience to Him. I'll tell you something else. Our righteousness is obedience to God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's read verse 25 quickly. Then I'll close. Deuteronomy 6:25. Do you have that verse? Deuteronomy 6:25. If you have my version, read with me. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do what? All what? These commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Righteousness is obedience to God. And so Paul says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Romans 8 from verse 1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What is the Bible saying? It is possible to obey God perfectly. But that power to give God perfect obedience is the very life of Christ in us. And so Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now it was the Father living in Jesus that allowed Jesus to be so obedient. Jesus said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me,
He doeth the works. And it is Christ in us that allows us to obey perfectly. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness is simple obedience to God. And God told the Israelites repeatedly, if you obey me, I will raise you above every other nation on the face of the earth. My brothers and sisters, that promise is not only for a nation. That promise is for an individual. Tonight, I want you to make a decision or make a choice. And to act on that choice by the power of God. Father, give me a spirit, a heart, to obey you to the limit of my knowledge. As much as I know, let me obey. How many of you will say, Father, give me a heart to obey you? Can I see your hand? Stand up with me. A spirit to obey, a mind to obey, a disposition to obey, so that obedience becomes our highest joy. Not watching Australian rules football or Manchester United or some basketball game. Our highest joy becomes knowing we have put a smile on God's face by doing exactly what He says. This is not legalism. This is living by faith. What did Jesus say of Himself? And us, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Tonight, recommit your life to God. Our High Calling, page 215, paragraph 2. Genuine conversion is not needed once in years, but daily. You didn't hear what I said. Genuine conversion is not needed once in years, but daily. When you wake in the morning, you open your eyes. Don't wait to get out of the bed because you can collapse between the bed and the floor and die. It doesn't take long to die. As soon as you open your eyes, you recommit your life to God. Genuine conversion is needed not once in years, but daily. A people of power, you tell me now with energy and confidence, what is the condition of a powerful people? What is the condition of a powerful person? Is there any other condition? No. How many will try to obey by God's power and grace? Can I see your right hand? Hands down, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we are born with a nature that hates obedience. Your word says in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Father, we want to be in the Spirit. And that's what conversion does. It puts us in the Spirit. And so Jesus says in John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We want to function in the Spirit, dear God. Forgive us for our disobedience, Father. Forgive us for our rebellious attitude. Forgive us for thinking we know more than you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we confess. Forgive us, Father. And grant us the humility to accept, receive, and agree that obedience is a foundation of a powerful life. Foundation is a condition upon which a man or a nation, a woman or a nation, is closer to Christ than anyone else. Put into our hearts, dear God, a love for obedience, so that it may be said of us, as it was said of Jesus Christ, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Put your law in our heart, dear God, that we may obey you gladly. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl, dear God. Let us yearn for that closeness to you, so that we may make obedience our joy. Bless us, hear us, dear God. Watch over us tonight. Now bless the food we're about to eat. We thank you for it in a world where so many people go hungry every day. Use us to ease the suffering of others, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. The sun has set. Hold on a minute. The sun has set. So the holy day is gone. The sun does not set on your personal holiness. Are you following me? No, you're not following me. Are we supposed to be a holy people? How many days a week? How many hours in the day? How many minutes, however many minutes there are? The sun did not set on your personal holiness. You are still required to behave like a holy person, even though the holy day is gone. Are you with me? God bless you. I love you. Enjoy your food. Eat like a child of God. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.